What's up, everybody? It's Austin Rivers from the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's a new year, and I have a new podcast here at The Ringer, Off Guard, hosted by me and my guy, Pasha Hagigi.
Austin and I go way back and talk so much hoop already that we figured it was time to fire up the mics and let you in on all of these conversations.
Every week, Pasha and I will hit on the biggest stories happening in the league
and get Austin's perspective of someone currently hooping in the NBA.
Tap into Off Guard every Friday on The Ringer NBA show feed on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now in the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Welcome to the Prestige TV Podcast, a show where we're very tired of enduring and surviving. I'm Charles Holmes. He's Van Lathan. Together, we're known as the Midnight Boys. And we're discussing The Last of Us. Van, we have to talk about something serious.
What?
I think your mom might be sending you a message. I think your mom might want to take you out. Because for those that don't know, Van has been very under the weather. He has a blister on his uvula. And his mom said, can you tell the people what your mom sent you, please?
She sent me some kind of cordyceps mushroom situation. It's cure mushrooms, cordyceps energy, and I don't know, persistence or something. It's liquid mushroom. It's liquid mushroom extract.
What did you do to your mom? Have you said sorry?
It literally says cordyceps on the front of it. It says cordyceps. People have to tell me, cordyceps must be like a generic word for fungi or mushroom or something like that.
Yes,
right?
It is a real one. Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Because when I opened it up and I said, yo, it says cordyceps on it, I'm like, I don't want to take this. I'm too deep into the lore of The Last of Us.
Can you imagine? Like, this is like when COVID happened and everybody didn't want to drink Corona for a couple months and you just like, yeah. You know, mushroom companies must be feeling it right now. They're like, God damn.
And the show's getting big and it's becoming a part of the general lexicon. And there's a real anti-mushroom movement out there right now.
I love mushrooms. So shout out mushrooms. Shout out the umami out there. But guys, we are talking about the fifth episode, Endure and Survive, directed by Jeremy Webb, written by Craig Mazin. This episode, we start in the midst of a revolt at the Kansas City QZ, where the people are rising up against Fedra. Kathleen kills all of the collaborators, but is desperate to find the last two, Henry and his brother Sam. After holding Joel and Ellie at gunpoint, Henry reveals that he really needs the duo's help. Henry tells Joel about how corrupt the Kansas City QZ had become and how Fedra pushed the infected underground. Henry and Sam partner up with Joel and Ellie, despite Joel saying he doesn't work with rats. The foursome find an older bunker in preschool where earlier settlers went after the first wave of the infection. As Ellie and Sam grow closer, Henry reveals to Joel that to save Sam from leukemia, he had to give up Kathleen's brother, Michael, who was the leader of the resistance, to Fedra. Before the four can get safety, they're ambushed by the resistance group. The underground infected escape and murder everyone. Unfortunately, Henry was bitten and attacks Ellie in the morning. Sam kills his brother to save Ellie, and not able to stomach the grief, he kills himself. Dan?
Shambles.
We gotta be real. This episode was excellent. You came in here making a bold proclamation that I don't think I disagree with. What was that bold proclamation you came in with?
This is the best episode of the season. It's the best episode of the season. And I saw episode 3. I loved episode 3. I called it one of the best episodes of television ever. And this one is better. I'm sorry, guys. Like, this episode has almost every... perfectly crafted, has almost everything you want out of an episode of television. Drops us into the story, gets us acquainted with Henry and Sam, gets us acquainted with Kathleen even more. There is development. There is the debut of a new type of infected. There are huge action stakes. There are stealth. There is bonding. There is weight. To take these two characters and make us care as much as they did for them in the span of time that they did, and then to rip them away from us at the end. My God. I'm sorry. I was... Kalik was walking by. I'm like, God, you got to watch this. Yo, this show is cooking. I'm sorry. This was amazing. Look, God damn it. That's all I got to say.
Here's the thing. I finished the episode and immediately was like, okay, episode 3 makes sense now, because they knew what they had with this episode. Like, when they were writing this episode, they're like, don't worry. Everybody's going to be like, episode 3, blah, blah, blah. But Craig Mazin and co, Druckmann knew, like, hey, bro, we got something even hotter. And I think what I loved about this episode and what I love about the series is that every new character not only tells you something new about the world, but every character tells you something important about Joel and Ellie. What I mean by that is, like, episode 3, Bill and Joel are both on a same journey, you know, trying to find what it means to be vulnerable and let people in at the end of the world. But I think what episode 4 and 5 do now is you see how Henry and Joel are both struggling with their morality during the apocalypse. And what does it mean to be a bad person? What does it mean to be a good person? What does it mean to destroy a part of yourself to take care of somebody younger? And to your point, I learned so much about Joel and Ellie by the show actually doing something brilliant, which is they kind of show you that, like, there's no bad people in this apocalypse. Kathleen has a reason for doing what she's doing. So does Henry. So does Sam. These are all choices. And I love, like, throughout this episode, I'm like, Kathleen's a crazy motherfucker. Don't get me wrong. But once they bring in the Michael reveal, I was like, God damn, like, I get it. Joel could have been Kathleen easily. You know what I mean?
Do you know who absolves Kathleen? Henry does. So I want to shout out to Kayvon Woodard, who plays Henry, and Lamar Scott, who plays Sam. Fantastic performances by the both of them. Brilliant writing in that he absolves her. When they are in the underground lair of children settlement situation, the person that tells you what a great man Kathleen's brother was is Henry.
Yeah.
Henry gets put in an impossible position to where he has to choose between someone who is inherently virtuous, someone who everybody agrees is the right man for the job, and that job is liberating those people from Fedra, right? Kathleen, wrong woman for the job, probably more brutal, but not particularly a great leader because she causes a lot of carnage over a vendetta.
You think she's the wrong person for the job?
Without a doubt.
No, because they say it in the episode. She was the right person.
She just got all of them killed.
Well, here's the thing.
She was the right person to probably lead the resistance to destroy Fedra.
Yes, that.
But she was the wrong person to lead them because a vendetta that her brother told her to let go.
Yeah.
Ended up getting so many people, including herself, killed. Now, the KC resistance is probably rudderless. Probably be out there, like, I don't know, doing a capoeira tournament. to figure out who's going to lead him, you know. So, but what I'm saying is when he's talking down there and he's telling people about how great Michael was, he's giving you her motivation.
Yeah.
Imagine anyone losing somebody like that as a leader is one thing. Imagine losing that as a brother. And so now we understand her. We understand that she can't let go of it, just like Henry wouldn't be able to let go of Sam, just like Joel wouldn't be able to let go of Ellie. It would be the exact same thing. Like you said, nobody's wrong, but you know, nobody's really right. Just brilliant storytelling in this episode.
And I think I love that you brought up the conversation that they have underground, because it's a mirror of the conversation that Joel has with Ellie in episode 4, when Ellie's like, are you a bad person? Like, what have you done? And Joel's basically trying to say, I've done whatever I've had to do to survive. It's so interesting because earlier in the episode, Joel was like, I don't work with rats. And it's almost like he's looking down at Henry for what he had to do. And by episode's end, you see them coming closer together where you realize, oh, what Henry and Joel and even Kathleen are fighting for, they're all the same. It's all the same. They will all do whatever it is necessary, not only to survive, but endure. And that's brilliant story, right? Because by the end, I was like, I didn't like Kathleen, but I got it. I understood it. That takes real acting on everybody's part, because I was like, damn, Henry's not wrong. Kathleen is making some points.
You know, it's interesting. There's a difference between building and protecting. Building is a math equation. It's what you're willing to sacrifice, what you're willing to forego, sometimes what you're willing to kill to get a foundation built, to get a structure built, to get a life built. I was listening to Shannon Sharp talk about his career, and, you know, he never got married. And he was saying, hey, he told his ladies in his life, he says, you know, you always come second to football. And some of the women were like, sure, I'll do that. But then when it actually came time to do it, they couldn't do it. Shannon Sharp is a 3-time Super Bowl champion and Hall of Famer. For a lot of people, building that type of career is not worth the sacrifices that you have to make, right?
Yeah, because you end up like Tom Brady posting thirst traps on Twitter. Come on.
These are the facts. These are the facts. And in this world, what we're looking at is a struggle between rebuilding the world and protecting what it is that you already have.
Yeah.
Between, like, even with Ellie and Joel, Ellie represents the opportunity to rebuild the world. Joel is trying to both pour into the idea that you're going to rebuild something and to the notion that he wants to protect her above all things. If not now, we see that developing episode and episode and episode. Kathleen in this episode has a lot of people who depend on her, who depend on her to give them freedom. That's what they fought for Fredja, freedom. But the protective nature, her brother's memory is what drives her. So it's people that are sick of losing. And like when you're building stuff, when you're setting down the roots of a society, sometimes you have to put the good of everybody else before your own personal feelings. But it's just hard to do it in this situation. And that is the situation that Henry finds himself at the end of the episode. We're seeing so much of this same theme. Someone living for somebody else and that person being their purpose. Joel's found a new purpose in Ellie. Bill found his purpose in Frank. Kathleen had lost her protector, who was her brother, but she couldn't find purpose in overthrowing Fedra and rebuilding everything. She had to have her vengeance. And when Sam was taken from Henry, he didn't have any purpose left. There was nothing left to build. There was no roots down left. There was nothing to go for. That was his thing. The virus took that. The fungus took that. And he took his life. The show just, the stakes in every scene are just ratcheted up to the next level, man. Woo!
I mean, I think the thing thematically that is just working on such a grand level with this is that the show is always asking us, do the ends justify the means? When Kathleen is like yelling at Henry and she says, well, kids die, Henry. They die all the time. You think the whole world revolves around him, that he's worth everything. I'm like, oh no, that's brilliant writing, because that's exactly what Kathleen would say in that moment. But also she's talking about Joel. She's not just talking about Henry. She's just like, is protecting this child, was it worth it? Was protecting Sam worth her brother? Was it worth all of the people who Fedra had to kill? Was being a rat worth this one little boy? What she is saying is the same thing that like everybody who meets Joel and Ellie has that central question. Are all the people that Joel has to kill, has to steal from, worth this one small sliver of a chance that they can save the world? And what we're learning is honestly how fascism creeps in. Because if you think about it, Kathleen is so upset with Fedra that she's killing people without a trial. She's essentially become the monster that she built up a revolution to fight, where it's just like the ends to her justify the means. So she's just like, hey, they're not even going to get a trial. They're collaborators. Fucking kill them. It doesn't matter. And I think that's just so brilliant on so many levels.
That's because she doesn't, she's not a Mason. She's an exterminator. And there's a difference. There's a difference between being a Mason, put together, boom, 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 blocks, blocks, build something. And this difference between that and just exterminating everyone who you feel like is standing in your way. For a character like Kathleen, there was always going to be a new enemy.
Yeah.
There was always going to be somebody to kill. Told her, hey, let it go. Number one, because he understood the decision that had been made, right? And number two, probably because he understood the distraction that a manhunt for Henry would pose to what they really should be doing, which is making a better life for the people in Kansas City. The performance of Kevon Woodard in this as Henry cannot go unnoticed. It's just fantastic. The scene between him and Joel.
Both of the brothers are like...
Both of the brothers.
Nothing against the rest of the actors. But what those two do in the course of one episode to make me care that much, what, they're on screen for like 40 minutes probably, collectively, mm-hmm. when it's all said and done. One of the best acting performances I've seen in years.
It's the scene between him and Joel where he's talking to Joel. It's like, Joel's like, I don't work with rats. He's like, today you do. Working with a rat today. Like, yeah, you know, like at this point, he's showing him the entire situation and he's letting him know, I have a plan to get us out. I was not sure how this was going to work out. There was a part of me, once again, I never played the video game. There was a part of me that believed towards the end of this episode that they were going to go forth as the four of them. But my mind was like, that can't happen. Right? They that's not the way this works. This is not going to happen in this way. I wasn't expecting it to resolve itself in this show. I was expecting at the beginning of the next show, middle of the next show, they leave, you know, maybe they walk by a basketball court and they can't help themselves and they're playing one-on-one. You know what I mean? But it's black guys in the apocalypse, they're getting some shots up. But we haven't seen anyone playing basketball.
We saw some soccer, all right?
We saw some soccer. But all this means to me, this whole global health pandemic, is that all the courts are open. Bro, I will be wet, bro. I'll be out there getting shots
up. Are you insane there? Can you imagine tearing your ACL? Can you imagine tearing your ACL out on the court? In the apocalypse.
Oh, that would be bad, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
That would be bad, bro. But you know what the thing about your ACL is, though? If you tear it, it'll heal. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, like, but here's the thing. Will it heal in time? The infected? You know what I mean?
Nah. Oh, yeah, because you got to run from the infected. How many torn ACLs do you think people got from running from the infected?
Oh,
like blowing out their Achilles? Joel old, bro. Does Joel, like, stretch?
Hell no.
In any of these movies, in any of these zombie movies, I never see nobody doing any calisthenics.
No, you know what I mean?
They should be stretching, no limber up, bruh. because you got to run. You got to be, think about all the different movements that they do. Jumping around, squatting, climbing. Maybe they don't have to do it because life is different and they're not as sedentary. Maybe
also, we just got to talk about it. None of them had the juice at the end. They like, I'm like, can y'all bob and weave? They were like, the zombies were coming. And I'm like, bruh.
Dog, that was insane though, bro. That, like, when the thing was falling down, first of all, I don't know, like, how it did it fall into a sinkhole or something?
So I think what happened is, so they're saying that, like, these developers basically overdeveloped. They created all of these tunnels. Yeah. So what I'm assuming is that when Fedra drove all of the infected underground, it's been 3 or 4 years. You have to think, we know what Cordyceps does on top. You know what I'm saying? We know what the museum was looking like. So think about all that foundation, like, rotting over like 3 or 4 years, man.
That was what I was waiting for. Cause like in this show, I was starting to think, you know, we're not getting a lot of infected zombie action. And they just came with the thunder. They looked like insects. It wasn't even a group of infected. It was a swarm of
the
infected.
The little white girl was like a fucking...
Oh, she was crazy.
She was like a ravenous monkey. When she jumped at Kathleen, I'm like, what the fuck is happening right now?
Yeah, bruh. She was like from, you know, one of these scary Conjuring movies. You know, I have that weird little kid. She was like Annabelle or something. She's going nuts. And then they had the big guy. The biggin?
Oh, the bloater?
Oh, he's called a bloater? When are we going to get Kai in?
Let's do Kai's video game corner. Can you talk about, like, the bloaters in the game?
Yeah, no, of course. The bloaters are crazy. I feel like this is something we've been teasing for a little bit, like, on the pod and also in the show. There's a few references to it. Yeah, they're basically the rarest type of infected, definitely the most dangerous type of infected. They develop after just years. It takes years to reach the stage. And as you guys saw, covered in fungus from head to toe, unrecognizable, terrifying. The skin is nearly impenetrable.
Like, their body has, like, armor, because they were shooting at this motherfucker, and it was like... Yep. Like,
why are they super strong? He ripped that guy apart.
That's completely accurate too. Like, if you get caught by a bloater in the game as Joel, he literally rips your head off. Like, it's gnarly. They're scary. They're terrifying.
How long would a bloater have been infected?
Years. Like 3, 4, 5, like years. So there's only a few in the game. In the first one, there's only like 2 or 3 throughout the entire course of the game. So I like that they took this long to kind of cook and let it be this massive reveal in this big moment. Cause those things, man, they're scary.
They are scary.
The other thing I want to talk about is Henry and Sam's story in the TV show is a departure from the game. We already talked about it last episode, but Kathleen was created for the show.
Yep.
And while Henry and Sam kind of like have a connection to the hunters, it is not as intertwined. Can you kind of describe to the audience the differences?
All of their backstory is brand new. Like, you come across Henry and Sam by accident in the game, and everything that had happened before, they don't really even touch on. They just kind of say that the hunters are after them. So everything with Michael and Kathleen and their connection and even Sam being deaf and you know, having leukemia, like, all of that's brand new. And I think adds like an entirely new level of just, you know, tragicness there that their story has, because their demise is the same in the game. Sam gets bit, he turns, Henry has to kill him to save Ellie. And then obviously he's overcome with grief, and then you see him shoot himself. So it's like, that part is still just as tragic, but the added element of like knowing their background and knowing that this kid is deaf and like he suffered from leukemia and all that stuff, it's just, man, it's hard to watch.
And if I remember from the cutscene, they allude to the fact that the hunters are essentially survival of the fittest. Like, they don't believe in kids. Like, so that is something that I think they were kind of hinting at maybe in the show, that to them, Sam is just like, why would you save this kid with leukemia? Like, he deserves to die.
They're incredibly ruthless. Like, they only care about survival. And I think that's plucked from the game. Another thing I wanted to mention real quick is that Henry and Sam in the show are actually a lot younger. Like, I don't know how old Henry is in the show. I don't know if they ever touched on it. It looks like late teenage years, maybe early 20s. And then they say Sam is 8 years old. In the game, Henry's 25 and Sam is 13. And so Sam's a lot closer to Ellie's age. Their relationship is still pretty similar in the show. Like, they become, you know, pretty close in a short amount of time just because they don't really see kids their age. So I thought that was an interesting change too.
Reboot your credit card with Apple Card, the only credit card designed for iPhone. It gives you up to 3% daily cash back on every purchase. Plus, Apple Card has no fees, not even hidden ones. Apply for Apple Card now on the Wallet app on iPhone. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Variable APRs for Apple Card range from 19.24% to 29.49% based on creditworthiness. Rates as of February 1st, 2024. Terms and more at applecard.com.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Let's talk about Ellie real quick.
We got to go to Plucky Kid Corner because I want to ask you this, Van. I have to ask you this. Is Sam such a better kid than Ellie? Like, I was just like, I love Sam so much more.
Here's the thing. Ellie came out of the pluck in this episode. This is the first episode where I felt attached to Ellie. She said, fuck the pluck. She was a nurturing older sister. You know, she was strong. Ellie is starting to become a character, a reliable character in and of herself. You know, it wasn't about a lot of pluck. She knows Joel a little bit more. You see her, the scene with her and Joel where they wake up and Henry and Sam are there. A hysterical scene. Joel, she's like, it's a hysterical scene. She's the clear head there. She is the well-adjusted one there. She is the one like, hey, Joel, tell him everything is cool. Joel's like, it's great. And she's like, God damn it. That's not very reassuring. You know what I mean? And throughout the entire episode, like Ellie is like reliable and grounded and seems like she's getting adjusted to the way things are. And seeing her as a caretaker changed her character for me a little bit because it showed a dimension to her that I wasn't aware was there quite yet. Seeing her in the role of somebody that must make somebody else feel cool and make somebody else feel not scared. It was an amazing way to mature and grow her character, showing that dynamic. Towards the end of it, you start to really, really feel for her. And I got really attached to her character even more so because she's now sorting, like, you see her innocence. You see the pluck, should I say, being stripped away from her. It's being taken. You can see it. You can see the fact that she just watched a man. She watched a kid get killed and she watched a man blow his head off in front of her. And when she writes the message on his little communicator, Escher sketch thing,
I'm
and
then puts it on his ending up alone.
It's just the entire thing is it's hard, and I really connected with Ellie in this episode.
Well, here's two things though. I almost cried when like he knows he got bit, and like Ellie's trying to put her blood on it. I'm like, oh, this is exactly what kids would try to do. And when he asked her, like, can you stay up with me? I was just like, oh my God. And like, I feel like an asshole now for thinking this, because I really like Sam is my guy. I love Sam. Immediately in my brain, I'm like, it should have been Ellie. All right,
Sam. Damn. See what I'm saying, Kai? Yeah. See what I'm saying? I do like the fact that she thought that putting her blood in him was, I was thinking to myself, man, that can't work, bro.
That's brand new too. That wasn't in the game.
I gotta be real though. Like, I guess the education system during the apocalypse ain't the same, because immediately I was just like, yo, Ellie, can you not like contaminate this boy anymore? Like, he's done. Like, let's
contaminate him. She immune. She don't care.
What's that?
She
out there just going with vaccines don't work like that.
She didn't know. Okay, it worked like that in She-Hulk. Let's be honest. If we take the She-Hulk theory, look, comic book readers know how that really happened, but Marvel said, fuck it. If we take the She-Hulk theory, then whatever's in your blood, if it mixes with somebody else's blood, you will become that. So she probably saw She-Hulk, what is it, 2023? in this episode, She-Hulk would have come out in 2022. So this might be, maybe she saw, she, no, well, no, she, there would have been no She-Hulk because it'd been down for a long time. Maybe she heard about it. There's no way she could have heard about She-Hulk. That joke's not going to work. But what I'm saying is the She-Hulk theory of blood transfusion is that if you're the accident and your blood mixes with somebody else's blood, you'll take on the attributes of their blood. So she tried it. It didn't work. Poor little bastard. He had such a tough life. Think about his life. Think about the life of a Sam. That sucks, bro.
But he was, the reason I love him, he was so fucking happy, bro. His life sucked, and he was just like, oh, la-di-da, drawing. Like, when he gave him the crayons, he was like the happiest little kid. He's like, oh, boy, crayons. I was just like, I love Sam so fucking much. Don't kill him. Bruh, man, that shit was, and I knew it. I knew it when they were alone in the room. I was like, this motherfucker got bit, bro. Like, I knew it
was happening. When they were down there and they were kicking, I was like, there's no way they don't get bit. It's impossible for them not to get bit. They're going to get bit. They're kicking their legs out there. The infected are there. It's going to be a bite or a scratch or something. He's so lucky that they didn't go in there and tell Joel. Joel would have been like, hey, I'm sorry, man.
That's why I didn't tell Joel. I was just like, she already woke up.
Could have compromised the entire mission. You know, compromised the entire mission. Like another little infected child flipping around and being all acrobatic like the girl in the car.
Wait, we have to ask this before we depart from Kai's video game corner, really quick. My last question for video game corner. Are the infected children in the games as spider monkey-like as they are in this? Because the kid, whenever a kid gets infected, that motherfucker got Spider-Man powers. They just like jumping out of nowhere.
Honestly, I can't remember any time that there were any kind of infected children in the game. So that was like, when she hopped in the vehicle, I was like, nah, I'm not messing with that. I don't recall anything like that in the games, to be honest with you.
I'm glad that they didn't go up against Super Bowl Sunday with this. Because we're going to all be in a food coma, drunk. You know what I mean? Super Bowl, we're American. In football. Oh, Patrick Mahomes. That's how we're going to be. This is how everybody's going to be Sunday. Sunday around 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern. Football. Heineken. Patrick Mahomes. That's how we're going to be. And we would have not been in the right mindset to watch this brilliant, touching, amazing hour of television. Let me tell you something right now. The Last of Us is cooking on a level heretofore not seen by television zombie situation.
Mm. Oh, are you ready to say it?
And maybe it's standing on the shoulders of shows like The Walking Dead, Fear of the Walking Dead, The Dance of the Walking Dead, Walking Dead Brazzers Edition.
All right.
Walking Dead in Paradise. Like Naked and Afraid, Walking Dead, and all of the different Walking Deads that are out there. Maybe it's standing on the shoulders of those shows, but right now, 5 episodes in, this is some fantastic Pascaling.
Let's do it. So, Kai, I want to ask you first. We've been talking around it a little bit. Hmm. Do you think that this episode is better than episode 3?
Man. For me, I think I still got to rock with three just because it's so new to me. Like, I, not that knowing what would happen diminished this in any way. I just think three was such a surprise coming from the video game and such a brilliant surprise at that. But this is a close second.
This is a really great episode. Charles, what about you?
Here's the thing, Dan, I think I got to rock with you. I think like episode three is still like all time great, but I think this episode is more representative of the show, where it's like, I couldn't just give episode three to somebody and be like, yo, watch this. I could give episode five to somebody and be like, this has everything about what the show is trying to do. I was talking to Kai about it. It instantly makes the main storyline just as compelling as Bill and Frank. Now I care so much more about Joel and Ellie because of everything they went through in Kansas City. I think the stakes are just as high. I think also people are going to yell at me. I think the two brothers, what they do in this episode acting wise is on par, is just as great as everything we saw with Bill and Frank. I think the acting performances are just as great from both of those actors in different ways.
I really loved it. I don't even want to watch the Super Bowl. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm not watching. I got to...
You're not going to watch the blackest Super Bowl, really?
This is black whatever. Yeah, can we? Everybody talk about how black the Super Bowl going to be. It's in the NFL, baby. Okay? It's only so black it can be. How black can the Super Bowl be when the NFL literally fired a dude for standing up for black people? I don't care about it, you know? Like, I care about it. I want to watch the game. But I'm too filled up with emotions right now to care about football. Run around, throw the ball. Mecole Hardman. You know what I mean? Jalen Hurts. I love these guys. You know what I care about? I care about Ellie and Joel. That's my Super Bowl. My Super Bowl is in Wyoming. That's where my Super Bowl is at. They're going to walk to Wyoming from Kansas City. Some people might ask, why are they in Kansas City from Boston when they're going to Wyoming? That's a question some people might ask. I don't know how they got there. You tell me, Kai, is that in the video game? Like poor map recognition?
I don't think it's Kansas City in the video game.
It's Pittsburgh. Yeah, it's Pittsburgh in the video game. So they're kind of switching that whole thing up in terms of like how they're traveling and where they're going.
Also, I got to be real. I love Henry, but we got to stop doing this trope. Henry turned on, you know, the blackness real quick. He's like, yo, this killer city. You don't know my city, Joe. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? I started cracking up. I'm like, bro, why are you talking to Joe like this? This man going to kill you, dog. Also, Pedro Pascal, I know he's getting overshadowed a little bit in this, but dog, Pedro got the look like he will kill you in 5 seconds. Like every single time he looks at a motherfucker, like I would never trust this motherfucker in the apocalypse. He looks crazy.
Pedro's doing his thing. Look, let me tell you guys, I think right now we should all make a pact not to watch the Super Bowl.
That's bold.
That's how effective this is.
I know full well your ass watching the Super Bowl. Come on, man.
Bruh, nope. I'm going to be watching more Lone Wolf versus Cub situations. Now all I want to do is connect with other people. Bruh, you don't fucking tell me. I'm not watching. What I'm going to do right now is I'm probably going to watch, like, I don't know. Give me a Lone Wolf. I'm going to watch the entire season of The Mandalorian. I want to feel. This episode has me wanting to feel. You know what I mean? It has me wanting to feel. I want to feel. It's really good television. I'm watching Super Bowl for sure.
It's great television. I think that is a great place to wrap up. Yo, thank you so much to Kai.
Patrick Mahomes.
Thank you for producing this episode. Thank you to my NFL hater of rightful hater of this podcast co-host, Ben Lathan. And guys, we're going to see you next week. Enjoy Super Bowl. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.